From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Obama says he does not expect the Cuban government to change anytime soon, despite his plan to begin normalizing relations with the country.
I think it'll happen in fits and starts. But through engagement, we have a better chance of bringing about change than we would have otherwise.
President Obama speaking there in his traditional year-end press conference before leaving for Hawaii for his annual winter vacation. Cuban-American groups opposed to Obama's shift on Cuba are planning to protest today in Miami. More than two dozen exile groups are listed as participating, but organizers have given no estimates on how many people are expected. NPR's Carrie Kahn, meanwhile, is in Havana, the Cuban capital, where many people are optimistic.
Just what that change people are hoping for depends on who you talk to. 58-year-old engineer Elder Montero says he's happy for improved relations, but he has reservations.
Todo lo que venga de ello, que no sea forzado.
It's all going to be good what the U.S. brings to Cuba as long as it's not forced on us. Montero says the two countries' politics are different and should stay that way. But Dalia Esteves, a state chemist, says real change won't come until the U.S. lifts the embargo. The government justifies everything they do because of the blockade, she says. Let's see what happens when that excuse is gone. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Havana.
The U.S. Supreme Court has cleared the way for gay marriages to begin next month in Florida. The court has declined to extend a stay sought by Florida officials defending the state's ban, which was ruled unconstitutional in August. Baylor Johnson is a spokesman for the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida.
What this means is that the state's last-ditch effort to try and keep the federal judge's ruling that struck down the marriage ban from going into effect was rejected by the nation's highest court.
The stay is expected to expire at the end of the day on January 5th. Police in Australia have arrested the injured woman found at the scene of this week's mass stabbing, as Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney. The woman is a mother of seven of the children killed.
Police have charged the 37-year-old woman with murder over the stabbing death of eight children aged 2 to 14 years old at her home in the northern Queensland town of Cairns. She remains hospitalized. They say she's the mother of seven of the children and the aunt of the oldest. Bruno Asnikar of the Queensland Police says the woman is cooperating with their investigation, but he still doesn't have a motive for the violent attack.
Every minute we have a better understanding of what went on in the house, and I can assure you that by the time this investigation is completed, we will understand every single movement and everything that happened in that house.
Local residents in the tight-knit Indigenous community have spent the past day laying flowers at a makeshift memorial in front of the house. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
And you're listening to NPR News. The government says it's getting safer to drive. Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox says the latest data on traffic deaths maintain a steady decline.
Road fatalities have declined more than 3% over the course of the last year, from 2002 to 2013, the most recent data we have. And in the last decade, they've dropped 25%.
Safety officials credit the steady drop to safer vehicles, stronger laws and enforcement, and consumer education campaigns. However, the number of deaths did rise in two categories, crashes involving big trucks and bicycles. The World Food Program warns that 2.5 million people in South Sudan facing acute hunger next year. Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports malnutrition levels are very high and expected to remain dire in the coming months.
The dry season has begun in South Sudan, so World Food Program spokeswoman Elizabeth Beer says her agency is now pre-positioning food in areas that will become inaccessible once the rainy season returns in a few months' time.
But this operation must go on and continue, and we are calling upon all parties to allow safe access to our staff and to our convoy.
The ongoing fighting between the government and rebels has interrupted the planting and harvesting of crops, causing large and widespread shortages of food. WFP says the hunger crisis in South Sudan is man-made, and it's time for the guns to fall silent. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
And I'm Giles Snyder in Washington.